Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9:42 ESPN 97.5. Mike Florio is joining us here in just a second. Julia is giving him a call, and we'll get Mike Florio on. Mike Florio, well, I want to ask him.
Stop Twitch. No. This is not Deshaun asking if she does massages. I'm not. Mm-mm. You know, you guys are going to have to get. We're going to have to ban
this.
No.
And we heard she told us what some of you say. It's gross.
That actually.
Let's change it up. Mike Florio is joining us from Pro Football Talk to talk about what's going on with Deshaun. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Man, we appreciate you being here. Just a quick, in your opinion, as a lawyer, what do you think the scorecard reads right now? Tony Busby versus Rusty Harden.
Well, it depends on what court we're talking about. Court of law, Harden has the only victory and the only skirmish that they've had, which is forcing the names of the plaintiffs onto the lawsuits. It resulted in one of the lawsuits being dropped, although it could be refiled. Court of public opinion, I think overall Busby's been mopping up the floor with Harden from day one. Even before Harden was involved, Busby's been winning. I don't agree with all of his tactics, but I think he's done a very good job of trying the case in the court of public opinion.
Yeah. And that is, in a civil case, I was talking to a civil lawyer about it. He said it is important. It is important that you win in the court of public opinion, just if for settlement, maybe, because Rusty Harden is seeing how this is going with the public. Maybe he'll think, I can't go to court with this because I see how bad it is for Deshaun publicly.
Well, it's more than that, too, because Deshaun is inherently a public individual. Putting pressure on him through those channels relates to and translates to settlement value. You know, at the end of the day, there is a loose number that gets placed on any civil litigation. And a typical personal injury case, car accident, it's driven by the medical bills, lost wages, other out-of-pocket expenses. That becomes the primary factor for ultimately putting a value on the case for settlement purposes as you try to get it worked out before you roll the dice with the jury. With a case like this where there really isn't any tangible out-of-pocket expense you can point to, the value has to come from somewhere. And from Deshaun Watson's perspective, the fact that this could put his football career on hold until these cases are resolved, and the longer this lasts, he's eventually going to be put in a position where he has to choose between invoking his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination or testifying. And if he pleads the Fifth, he's basically forfeiting the civil cases. And if he testifies, he could get twisted up into the kind of knots that would be a blueprint for a prosecutor if someone decides to actually proceed with criminal charges. So there's value in making this all disappear. And I don't mean that in any way other than handling it the right way, giving the individuals involved a sense of quasi-justice, quasi-day in court. They're satisfied with the outcome. That's something that I've been saying for weeks Deshaun Watson needs to do, and I'm sure that people close to him have been advising him would love to be able to jump into a time machine and go back a month or so and take advantage of the opportunities to do that before this all went off the rails.
But at this point, why would, okay, if you're Busby, man, I got a nice case, why would I settle when I can possibly get a heck of a lot more? How much am I going to settle for?
Well, it all depends upon the timing, and right now, if Deshaun Watson is trying to get Tony Busby's attention, obviously through Rusty Harden and other lawyers working with Harden, trying to get Busby's attention, I think it's in Busby's best interest to be unpredictable and erratic right now, because you sense that there is urgency by Deshaun Watson to get this settled now. And at the right time, Busby needs to swoop in with an offer that Deshaun Watson can't refuse, and that if he does, it's only going to get worse later. See, I think part of what Busby is trying to prove now to Harden, to Watson himself, and anyone who's paying attention, when the opportunity arises to take care of this, you need to take care of it because you had opportunities before and you failed. So that opportunity is going to swing around again at some point. And I think Busby, if he understands, and I assume he does, how the football side of this works, there's a sweet spot coming up to try to resolve these cases. And there's value in getting them resolved before you pull the pin on the grenade that results in Deshaun Watson being subject to aggressive questioning in a deposition, before you really start putting a lot of time and effort into the cases. Because there arguably is a point, once we go past it, it doesn't matter anymore to Deshaun Watson. Let's just hunker down and fight. So I think maximum settlement value in a case like this could be coming in the next few weeks, especially if Deshaun Watson thinks there's a way he can resolve these cases and then get traded, move on with his football career while he awaits whatever the NFL will do. Because I still think the NFL is going to take action, even if he would find a way to resolve everything right now.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports with us right now, talking about the Deshaun Watson case. You're somebody with a legal background for people who don't know. That's why I think I felt like you were uniquely positioned to talk about this case. I think, you know, Mike, when you look at this, and it is difficult to have these conversations for you on such a large platform because you just had a you had to basically, you know, put in there, we want this to be resolved in a way. Look, there are two conversations that we have. There is the outside of football discussion about men and women and sexual harassment slash assault. And then there's the what does this mean from a football standpoint? And it doesn't diminish. I think it's two conversations that we need to have. And it doesn't mean that they are mutually exclusive. But we certainly, I just want to say this, we all care about the personal stuff going on in this with everybody involved. But from a football standpoint, there's another discussion. And that one, in putting out there that all of this, obviously, we need to acknowledge. But Deshaun Watson has went from having X trade value, he wanted out, the Texans didn't want to let him go. Now, what takes place now with Deshaun Watson? Do you see a scenario where he could be traded after the draft? Or does this need to be an entire season passes before he has proper trade value if the Texans want to move?
It's all tied to when the cases are resolved, if they can be resolved. That's why there's greater settlement pressure on Deshaun Watson now, and in turn, greater settlement value for each of the 22 plaintiffs as coordinated by Tony Busby. But since he's the guy who's the common link to all these plaintiffs, he's the guy they have to get through to. He's the guy who's going to recommend ultimately to each individual plaintiff, yes or no, up or down, accept the offer or reject the offer. When I practiced law, and I wanted clients like this, you want your client ultimately to turn to you and ask, what would you do? What should I do? And the lawyer is the one who's uniquely situated to make that assessment. But if you can get all of these properly resolved in a way that allows the 22 individuals to believe that they've had some semblance of justice and they're satisfied with the outcome, that's when the door opens for a potential trade. With the new team knowing that there's some vague reality of 4 games, 6 games, 8 games, 10 games, maybe a full season for Deshaun Watson based upon these 22 claims that eventually would be settled. If it's not settled, the problem then is, if you trade Deshaun Watson, he shows up for camp, he gets put on the commissioner exempt list, you're looking at a $10 million salary this year, a salary north of $30 million next year. If they decide he's on that list until all these cases are resolved, and they don't get resolved for 2 years, and it's usually 18 months to 2 years from the time you file to the time you end it. That's my own experience. I don't have any reason to think it's different in Houston. You're looking at somebody that may have to pay this guy $43 million to not play for them. So I'm not trading for Deshaun Watson if I'm any other team until I know that I'm not going to be paying him to not play, and the only thing that I am waiting for is whatever the unpaid suspension is by virtue of punishment under the personal conduct policy. So the first impediment in my mind is getting these cases resolved. And if they don't get resolved, I think he's untradeable.
Hey, absolutely. This Will Hobson article with Mike Florio right now, he talks about Scott Gatfield. He was the general counsel for Athletes First, and he refused to deal with Tony Busby. I'm of the opinion, and it, quite possibly all of this could have been avoided if Athletes First had come to a settlement with her. Busby would not have been made it public, so all of the other ones would not have come forward. None of this might have happened, Mike, if he had settled this first case before it became public.
We don't know how many more there would have been. We don't know how many others Busby already had lined up. And one of the concerns when you're the individual who faces this demand for settlement is, once we agree to one, when's the next one? When's the next one? When's the next one? And that's one of the reasons why these settlements are always confidential. But you want to know what you're dealing with before you ultimately settle. But there is a chance. There is a chance that Busby had one client and only one client, and recognized, based upon the facts as they were explained to Busby, that you take this to a jury, you win, but the damages aren't going to be earth-shattering. So you make a settlement demand, and I frankly think $100,000 as an opening settlement demand is incredibly reasonable, because it means there's room to move. And where this went off the rails, I believe, is when Scott Gatfield said to Tony Busby, essentially, give us more information or make a different demand. You just don't do that. That's the one thing that people need to understand. It breaches the etiquette of settlement talks, of negotiations of any kind between lawyers. You don't ask a lawyer to bid against himself. What Scott Gatfield should have done, and what I would have done, if I don't know enough about this case, but I recognize there's something there. And remember, at the bottom of the email that Rusty Hardin, for some reason, publicized, where Gatfield said there's a lesson to be learned here by Deshaun. I still don't know why in the world they would publicize that email. But if I believe that there's a lesson here to be learned by Deshaun, and the opening number is 100,000, I'm responding with 10, and I'm saying, I'd like to know more about the specifics here before I can fully value this. Because then what I think Busby would have been expected to do under the etiquette I've referred to is cut his demand to 90, provide some more information, and then you wait for Gatfield to come back at 20. And you go back and forth. I think they would have settled between 50 and 75 based upon an opener of 100. And he's probably already spent 50 to 75 on legal fees now. So it's money well spent when you think of it that way. And it becomes, you know, they call it a nuisance suit. And that doesn't mean to, in any way, demean the allegations. But what the defendant decides is, I'll just write a check to avoid writing all the checks I'll have to pay to my lawyer for monthly legal fees and rolling the dice on possibly going to trial and losing and having to testify and having a distraction. I'll pay you 50 to 75 to make this go away. And I think in hindsight, they could have done that with the first lawsuit. Whether there would have been more, we'll never know.
Well, I've got a buddy that went to Rusty Hardin. He had some problems. Rusty starts at $1 million, and he said he's got five lawyers on this. Rusty is maybe the biggest hit financially that Deshaun is going to take, because they, and especially with now the discovery that they're going to have with all of these masseuses that they're going to have to look into their past and their backgrounds. Rusty is quite possibly going to be well into the millions. And I don't think that's an understatement, Mike.
Oh, I agree with you completely. And look, he may do a bang-up job in court. I think the PR approach leaves something to be desired. The admission, for example, that consensual activities occurred with some of the massage therapists. I mean, maybe that's unavoidable when it's time for Deshaun to testify. I don't know why you're putting that out there into the stream of public discussion, but that's a different debate altogether. We can agree it's going to be very expensive. And $1 million retainer right out of the gates, my guess is they've already chewed past the 50 to 75 that would have been required to get this case settled, if my estimation is right. And you don't start at 100 if your bottom line's 100. Tony Busby started at 100 with room to move. And my experience handling cases like this on both sides, when you start at 100, your signal is your bottom line is somewhere between 50 to 75. And if Gatfield would have responded with anything, they could have continued that dialogue and resolved this, and it would have been money well spent, obviously, in hindsight, especially if there would have been no one else. Because what happened was they pissed off Tony Busby. And the worst thing you can do with a lawyer who is aggressive and savvy and capable of working the media to his advantage is piss him off, because the closer you are to the middle of his radar screen, the bigger problem you have.
But Mike, I mean, how much of this rests on Deshaun's shoulders for maybe not being honest with his counsel, even before Rusty Harden? Because clearly he did not give them the information they needed.
Well, here's the reality. And I got a text message the other day from someone I've known since I was 14 years old. And he's got an issue with a former employer where they're trying to get him involved in a lawsuit where he just signed a piece of paper and he's concerned about it. And, you know, I gave him some advice from the perspective of someone who's been in that world. How do you handle yourself in order to not get into a bigger problem than what you already have, which is not a big problem. But my point is, when you're the one who knows how it all works, you got to have the candid conversation and you got to bust through the facade immediately. And I think in this case, in a weird sort of way, Deshaun Watson's otherwise and previously pristine reputation resulted in the creation of an echo chamber. And I feel like to a certain extent that echo chamber still exists. And that's what results in people making bad decisions. What you have to do right away, you got to be the guy's conscience. You got to be the guy on his shoulder who is whispering the hard truths into his ear. That's what he needed right out of the gates. He didn't have it then, and I'm still not convinced he has it now. You need someone who's going to tell him, look, here's what we're dealing with, and it's not going to go away simply because we don't like it, and it's not going to go away simply because we tell the lawyer to go to hell. We're going to have to deal with this, and the sooner we deal with it, the easier it's going to be and the less pain it's going to cause in your overall life.
And with that, you know, Rusty's taken a lot of heat for admitting that there was consensual sex, but that was going to come up early anyway. I mean, in discovery and depositions, that there was sex, and they were going to have to admit that at some point anyway, weren't they?
Well, they're going to have to admit it at some point, but the question is where and when and how do you admit it? And when it's the first press conference you're holding about the case on a day where you do have a slim victory, although Tony Busby would say it was a boomerang, and you could argue every silver bullet that Rusty Harden believes he's fired at Tony Busby or these cases has ultimately been that boomerang. I mean, the whole press release questioning Ashley Solis about her claim that this isn't just for money, and they went after her on the $100,000 demand and released all those emails. That, in my view, in my opinion, because these are like snowflakes, everyone can be different, and there's no right or wrong way. There's no magical formula, but I thought that was a horrendous misstep to go after her that day and release those emails. But, yeah, as it relates to admitting that there was consensual activity, you got to find a way to bring those facts out at a time where it's not going to become a big deal. You wait, especially if there's a chance to settle these things in the not-too-distant future. You don't lead with that. You don't put that out into the public consciousness until you have to. That's just my opinion. And again, every lawyer is going to handle these situations differently, but I would have kept that fact concealed as long as possible, especially if I'm trying to settle these cases.
That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports. You see him all the time. Great insight, Mike. You know what? This has taken a lot of heat off Easterby, hasn't it? Oh, he hung up. Damn. I wanted to get an Easterby comment.
You know he hates Easterby.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It was a free shot for him. You even did this.
I know.
Threw a little softball up there. Now do Easterby.
Yeah.
Trust me. I could text him back. Hey, we were going to let you take a shot at
and you did.
Call me back.
He does not like Easterby.
Oh, he does not like Easterby. Because he knows the sneaky stuff he's done.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Lance, I think, is this time when Lance says goodbye, Del?
Bye, bitch.
Whoa. Oh, wow. He did get us Florio, though. What?
Not every response needs to be brisket.
No, every time he does bye, biatch, you're going to do
I heard the Easterby comment after you clicked over and laughed out loud. He's got to be the happiest guy right now, other than Busby.
That's from Mike Florio. Yeah.
He heard us say that over after he clicked over. Trust me, Mike would have just knocked Oh, my gosh. Look at this Joe Smith.
Look at the
weak-ass slider coming in here.
Joe Smith, why'd you have to ruin? And we had a great segment with Mike Florio, and you ruin it with a Joe Smith.
Brings everyone down.
Makes me want to puke.
Mike didn't paint a rosy picture. There is no rosy picture.
No, he's a bad. You know what?
Can you imagine Rusty if they said, you know what, Tony? We're going to do this. Instead of 100,000, we're going 200. Case closed.
That's it.
Sign the NDAs. We'll sign it with Penn.
Now, don't you wish Deshaun giving him $200 now?
Deshaun should have said he should have just taken a wad of $100 bills and thrown it in the air like Pac-Man Jones at a strip club. Just thrown it up there and said, take all this and we're done. And we're done.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much money was saved?
Was saved. Oh, my gosh, Deshaun, you would have
reputation.
Everything.
Reputation.
He'd be on another team right now.
Advertisers.
Everything. Oh, my gosh. Cool. 1002 ESPN 97.5, a huge, huge retirement with Texas ties. Texas is not back, folks. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.